Hello and welcome. You're tuned into the best in paranormal talk radio. This is Beyond the Darkness. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. Along with me, as always, Tim Dennis. Hello, Tim.
How you doing?
I'm doing good. Now, Tim, throughout the years, we've always been very accessible to our listeners, and people write in. They'll share some of their personal stories when they're dealing with something that they might need a little insight and help with. And I got a recent message. You know, I've entered the Instagram universe, Tim.
I've heard.
And I received a message that was followed by some really disturbing photographs. The message said, "Hey, Dave, my name is Keegan, and I'm wondering if you could help me and my family out. We've been having really weird things happening here at my house, and it seems to be getting worse and worse. It's getting to the point it's affecting my grandma, who is with me and dealing with cancer. Can you please get back to me? Here are some pictures. Maybe you or your team or your friends could help us figure this out." And sent me these photographs, and they're very disturbing, to say the least. These scratch marks and welts on Keegan are pretty remarkable. Very deep, very dark. And there's a few other darker images I can't really exactly make out in here. So we'll be talking with Keegan and his fiance, Lexi, about this and hear a little bit about their story. So welcome to Beyond the Darkness. Keegan and Lexi, thank you both for joining us today.
Hey, thanks for having us.
These pictures are really, the scratches look horrific. Let's start at the beginning. How long has this been going on for you two?
Well, it started for me about, I'd say 5 years ago, with a lot of little things happening. And then it started to increase. And like, I never believed in this stuff. And this is the only possible thing that it could be, honestly. And I played with the Ouija board, I'm not going to lie, a while ago. And it was weird because we were asking a bunch of different questions. And we asked where we were. And it said the numbers on the mailbox. And then something in the other room fell and shattered. And when it shattered, it went into a 6. And it was crazy.
So the fragments of the item that shattered formed a 6 on the floor.
Yep. Okay. And it was all glass.
All right. Now, when you're, had you played with the Ouija board before, or was this something, this the first time you'd ever messed around with it?
First time I ever messed around with it.
Okay. And you hadn't had any real paranormal activity in your life prior to that?
No, not really.
What, just out of curiosity, what made you decide that you wanted to try a Ouija board? Did you think you had something in your home? Were you just playing it as a game to see if you could communicate with anybody or anything?
Just as a game of me and my buddies were just messing around.
Okay. And when you started trying to make this communication, did it name itself? Did it ever say who it was that you were speaking with?
Yeah, two names came out, and one of the name was Toby, and then the other one was Timothy.
Okay. Toby into, wow, Toby, isn't that the same name that came out on The Exorcist?
I thought it was
Captain Howdy and Toby, I think, were a couple of the names that came through. All right, so you start to get these names, and are they decent at first, or do they come straight out kind of malevolent and scary?
It was normal at first, and then once we started to continue doing it, it got worse and worse as we progressed.
Okay. And how long in total do you think that you engaged in conversation on the Ouija board?
Ooh, I'd say half hour, 45 minutes. Because once we started it, it took a while for it to start to move. It took about like 10 minutes. And then once it started to move, it moved.
And, right, just so people understand that a lot of times if you're playing with the Ouija board, it doesn't automatically just start zipping around like you see in the movies. Sometimes it takes a while for things, and I don't know if it's our energy or their energy, to pool together and create contact. So you're talking, you get these names that come through, you communicate for about a half an hour, and are there any threats made to anybody that's playing with the Ouija board or anybody else in the household?
No threats, no.
Okay. So what exactly is this telling you, aside from being able to communicate and tell you what the address was and a few simple things like their names? What else about this stood out to you?
We were just asking questions, and once it did the numbers on the mailbox, like, it was nailing the questions left and right. Like, we asked how many people were here. It said five. And we asked, what is one of our names? It did my name, K-E-E-G-S, and that's my nickname, Keegs. And that, like, freaked me out, and I stopped and went outside and came back inside. I regathered myself, started to do it again, and one of my buddies asked what his name was. The first name was Timothy, and then I was freaked out, and then I was like, okay, guys, just put it away. I don't want to do this no more. Took it back to the store we got it from.
What about it freaked you out so much, Keegan? Well, you know, it wasn't like it was saying you're going to die. It wasn't. It was just you'd ask it a simple question. What's my name or what's our address? And it was answering in very simple terms. Why did you feel so uncomfortable?
It felt so heavy in the room, and it felt hot. Like if you stand really close to a fire, and you get that heat sensation. Mm-hmm. That's what it felt like. It was crazy. And we were done with it. It went away. But as it progressed, I kept feeling that thing that I felt when we were doing it. And I don't know what else it.
How was it affecting the rest of the people that were involved? Were they equally as uncomfortable, or were you the leader in wanting to shut it down and get rid of it?
I wanted to shut it down and get rid of it fast. Right. Did
they have any response to it? Were they like, oh, come on, Keegan, relax? Or did they also feel like, you know, hey, maybe we should do away with this?
No, they were like, man, that's crazy. And then stopped it and went to another subject, forgot about it. But I don't know. I don't like telling people about this stuff because I'm not trying to be the weird one and have people like, oh, you're crazy.
No, I understand.
All this nonsense. And
we're not here to do that at all. It's trying to get a full understanding of your story. So, you know, maybe we can give you a better assessment for what happened. And how soon after you had this conversation on the Ouija board did the thing shatter in your other room and create the six on the floor?
No, that was during the Ouija board.
Oh, it was during the session. Okay. So it shatters, creates a six on the floor. You decide that's it. You go return the board and you're done. Now, is that the end of it? Yep. Does the activity kind of stop for a while, or is this just the beginning?
It stops for a while, and then it got worse.
Okay. And when you say it got worse, was it a slow progression and it just got more and more? Or was there like a break of a few weeks or months and then all of a sudden all hell broke loose?
No, it was a good couple months after the Ouija board and stuff started to happen. And from there, it just got worse and worse and worse all the way up till right now.
Okay. And when this activity began for you and you started noticing things taking place more often, would you say it was happening on a daily basis? Was it happening once or twice a week? To what extent was this taking place?
Probably at least three times, three times a week, no doubt. And that was the only times I noticed it, though. So I don't know if it's been happening when I haven't noticed it. Right. Or
and what type of things were taking place?
Shadows, a lot of shadows. Shadows crawling up the wall, getting dragged out of my bed, burning on my back. And then I had my grandma and my fiance look at it, scratches. Didn't feel them when it happened.
So you didn't feel it. Would you just all of a sudden feel a burning on your back and you'd lift your shirt and there would be scratch marks or welts?
Yeah, it was burning, like somebody was branding you and lifted it up and it was that.
All right. Well, let's talk to you for a second, Lexi. In your life, right, had you had any paranormal experiences growing up?
Nope, nothing at all.
All right. And were you with Keegan at this time when he had been messing around with the Ouija board?
Nope, I was not.
All right. So how long after this initial kind of paranormal activity began did you come into his life?
Within like the last year.
All right. So Keegan, you've been doing this for 5 years. So you had about 4 years of activity before Lexi became involved.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so now let's reel it back. Now, your grandmother is currently dealing with cancer, is that right?
Yeah, she's in remission right now, but...
That's great. Okay, well, that's good.
I think it's affecting her, yeah.
Now, was she dealing with cancer when this began?
Yeah.
Okay. And had she noticed any kind of activity prior to you messing with the Ouija board at all?
Yeah, like, the house that she's at right now has always been active, and she built this house, and there was a death in her room, and my mom grew up here, and her and my uncle always heard stuff and stuff like that in the basement, and none of us go down in the basement. Like, we have it blocked off with a curtain because how bad it is.
Mm-hmm.
And this house has always been crazy.
And the death that took place in the house, was it a loved one, a friend? What can you tell us about that?
That it was a suicide in my grandma's room. And that was, it was quite a while ago, I think, like before I was born, so probably 25 years.
And the activity started for her pretty soon after that death took place?
I believe so.
Okay. I'm just trying to get a setup and an understanding of how this mm-hmm. kind of began for everybody. That's a very, of course, a very upsetting story. And to have that happen and, you know, have her realize that this is taking place in her house. Now, did she ever feel threatened in her house prior to the attacks on you, or had it always been just, well, we know there's an energy or a spirit here, but nothing malevolent?
She always knew that there was something here, but she didn't think it was this bad. I don't think it was this bad until I did the little board thing, the Ouija board.
Okay.
But I don't know. I think that's just I thought it was just a board with all that stuff on it, but I guess not.
You never really gave it any credence that this would be something that could legitimately get you involved in the paranormal, is what you're saying.
Yeah, like, not at all. I don't believe in that stuff at all.
Okay, but here it is knocking on your door. Grandma says that this has been taking place in her house for a while. Had you ever had... or would she relate to you stories growing up about the kind of activity that would take place in the house?
Yeah, she always told us stories growing up about, like, her hair dryer turning on, or see, I play baseball, and she was like, yeah, if I want to play catch, I can just throw it to the spirit, and it'll throw it right back to me, and just stuff like that, and yeah.
And what did you think? What did you think? Grandma's just... maybe hitting the wine a little too heavy,
like,
or
yeah, This is grandma. I don't know what's going on through her head right now, but.
All right. So nobody really paid any attention. Nobody really gave her credence that that there was something strange and paranormal phenomena actually taking place.
Yeah, we don't. Yeah, we don't believe in that stuff.
Okay.
Didn't believe in that stuff.
All right. And you. Now you mess with the Ouija board and suddenly you start having activity. Now, is this in two separate homes or was grandma living with you or were you rather living with grandma when this took place?
I was living with my mom.
Okay.
And then once my grandma started to get worse and worse, I was like, okay, I'm gonna go over there and help her out until something happens. And then she started to get better. And I was like, okay, you like being here because her husband, my grandpa, is a truck driver and he's never here. So I was like, okay, I might as well just stay with you because who knows what'll happen. And yeah, I played with the Ouija board here. And ever since then, it's gotten...
So wait, now clarify this. So which house did you play with the Ouija board at? At your mom's house or at your grandmother's house?
At my grandmother's house.
Okay. All right. And did the names line up with anybody that you guys were aware of? Any of the deaths that had taken place at that house?
No.
All right. And grandma didn't recognize the name Toby or what did you say the other name was?
Timothy.
Timothy or Toby, and neither one of those names meant anything to her.
Nope.
Okay. Now, how about to you and your friend that were playing this? Did you know anybody named Timothy or Toby from your youth or, other family members that may have passed away?
No, I don't know Toby or Timothy.
Okay. And just out of curiosity, Lexi, hearing these names, does that resonate with you at all? Do you know anybody that passed away by the name of Toby or Timothy?
No, I don't.
The only reason I ask is sometimes I know it sounds strange because you were like, hey, I wasn't even part of the picture at that point, Dave. But sometimes, it seems that, and Tim, you know what I'm talking about in this, right? That the ghosts sometimes will be attached to something or, you're kind of getting a futuristic look to a connection that you might make later on down the road. Right. And having Lexi as a part of your life, I just didn't know. Because we've heard that on a few occasions, right, Tim, where we get some kind of message which makes no sense, and then we meet somebody a week later, and bam, it lines up.
Yeah, or someone's coming in ahead of time that to a person that you may meet in the future. Like Timothy is actually connected to her rather than to him. Yeah, I get what you're saying. Yeah.
Mm. All right. Just it's very bizarre. An odd situation, to say the least. You've got the broken glass. Was there anything else right away that started to feel violent in nature? Or was it just the shadowy figures and noises that you heard?
Just the shadowy figures and the noises, but once that stopped for a bit, I was like, okay, it must be all done. And then wasn't worried about it. And then when I have my back turned or whatever you want to say, it starts happening again.
Now talk to me about these shadowy figures you were seeing moving around your house. You are not a believer in the paranormal. This doesn't make sense for your life, but now you're seeing these things. How does that affect you? What is that like?
It's weird. It's literally a shadow. It's like looking at your shadow on the ground, looking at it at a wall. Nobody's there. Then you see it walking. I think I sent you a video of a shadow that was on the wall, standing right in front of my door of my room.
Mm-hmm.
And it walks to the left right through a wall, and then it comes back out of the wall, stands in front of my doorway again, and then walks to the right. That makes absolutely no sense. No clue what it was. No clue who it was. It had a hood on. And then I see that same thing throughout the house. I see it in the living room. I see it looking down into the basement around the corner. I see it all over the place. And then the other picture I took of the really tall thing next to my bed, I see that all over the place. And that's the one that I see, like, going up into the corner of the wall or on the ceiling or just right in front of me, you know. So
now, would you hear any noises like scratching or footsteps as though there was a physical presence there?
Mm-mm. Dead silent.
Okay.
Dead silent.
And how about any smells? I know that might sound strange again, but, you know, in some cases people have these encounters and they encounter, you know, a sulfuric smell or roses. Was there anything that was associated with these experiences for you that way?
No, but for the video one that I sent you, I didn't smell nothing when it was there. But when it was done and about 5 minutes later, it smelled like rotten food, like horrible smell.
Okay, so there was that aspect of this. All right, so you've got this kind of rotting. Was it like a rotting meat smell or just an overall kind of a garbagey smell?
Just like a, I'd say garbagey smell. That was horrible.
Okay.
And it was right. Just over here.
And would anybody else in the house witness this shadow figure?
Everybody here.
Really? Okay. And everybody, were you guys here? Was everybody in fear of that?
I want to say fear. I think it's like, whoa, like what was that? I don't think nobody right. would consider it fear. Yeah.
Okay. All right. See, that's strange to me is people that aren't really believers in this suddenly start having an experience with these shadow figures moving around. That kind of changes your life. That changes your belief system, doesn't it? I mean, you go from a non-believer to suddenly you've got this activity taking place in your house. It's kind of like there's no denying it now.
Yeah, I don't understand like what else it could be, honestly, because it's not no person. I'm here by myself. I can't explain. I don't know what it is, honestly.
Now, Lexi, talk to me a little bit, if you would, about your experiences when you came into his life. Did you start to see shadow figures and figures as well?
Yeah, I saw one follow me home one time. Like, I woke up and saw it in my room, and I only have one window in my entire room, and it was like right next to it. So I was like, no way, it could have been a shadow or anything.
Oh, so it wasn't like a light casting from maybe somebody outside. This was like a shadow moving with freely within your room. So this was at your house, though, after visiting Keegan.
Yep. But it was only one time I saw it there, and then I've seen it here. It's the same thing that we see here as I saw there.
Okay, well, tell me about that. When you see these beings at the house, at Keegan's, what is that? I mean, the first time that experience happened, how did that affect you? I mean, what did you, were you kind of blown away by what you were seeing? Were you surprised by their lack of concern?
No, because I already knew his house was haunted. And like, I had, pretty sure I'd already experienced like him being scratched before it followed me home. And I'd heard things being thrown. So I was kind of just like, oh, there's a figure here. And I like immediately like texted him and said, hey, I saw the shadow figure at my house and stuff like that. But other than that, no, I was kind of already used to the idea of there being paranormal around.
All right. That was it for you. All right. Yeah. We'll continue this. I want to know more and get a full understanding and what exactly is going on, how this continued to amp up. Okay, we're back with Keegan and Lexi talking about the extreme paranormal activity that's taking place for them at their house. It began with Keegan playing with a Ouija board, already in a home that was known to have some activity. And although Keegan and some of the other family members dismissed Grandma and her claims of strange paranormal activity, it became unleashed once he brought out the Ouija board. Things began to amp up from items being thrown and shattered to shadow figures crawling up the walls, across the ceiling, things moving around in his house. Were you feeling threatened early on in this, or was it just seeing these things, Keegan?
He got dropped from the phone call.
Oh, he got dropped. Okay, well, we'll bring him back in. But do you know, I mean, when I've got to hear your side of this as well, Lexi. When you've got you've got your man, and mm-hmm. you're introduced into this new relationship, right? And how soon into this dating cycle does he tell you, oh, you know, by the way, Lexi, we might have a ghost in our house, or multiple ghosts in our house, and they're attacking me?
Hello?
Yeah, hold on one second, Keegan. Welcome back to the call. But tell me about that. Was that something he brought up right away, or was that something he slowly eased you into when he explained the supernatural activity at his house?
He actually brought it up right away, but like not a lot of stuff started happening right away. It's like took like a month for stuff to start happening, and then it like increasingly like sped up.
So when he tells you about this, are you rolling your eyes and thinking he's nuts?
No, I was like, I'm not coming over.
All right. Keegan, as we were talking, when we came back from the mentions, I was saying that you have this activity take place. There's weirdness. Are you feeling threatened straight out again, or is this something that took quite a while before scratches and this force in the house seemed to be gathering strength?
I think it started gathering strength, and then now I feel like I'm not welcome, basically.
Oh, really?
And it's my own house.
Okay.
Like, I feel weird. We leave the house. We go to the mall just for a drive. Feel perfectly fine. And then just pulling back up on the house, walking in, feel it again. It's weird.
Okay. And That's got to be disturbing, right? I mean, this is your place that you're supposed to feel comfortable and feel like you have solace there, and instead you feel like a stranger or threatened to even be at home.
Yeah. It's not that usual when you dread going back to your own house.
Okay. Let's as we continue to understand the story and hear more about it, 4 years of this activity taking place, and how many people that, you know, are friends, relatives, everybody that comes over witnessing these things taking place?
Most of the people that come over witness it. Yeah.
And was anybody else being affected in an ill way? I know you said that you felt like this might've been affecting your grandmother's health, which we've heard about before. I don't know how much credence I can give into that, but you know, if it's sapping people of their energy and that's what allows illness to take effect, that's been the theory behind these things. But was anybody else being affected?
I don't know if anybody else has been affected, but another thing I guess you can put in that category is my grandpa, when he's here from driving trucks, his parents passed away at the house next door, and he's told my grandma that when he wakes up, he can see his parents standing right by his closet looking at him, and then they just fade away. So I don't know what that can be, but...
All right. Well, Keegan, I need you to be honest with me on a few things here, okay? Because obviously it sounds like nothing really scary happened to grandma before. Your grandfather is seeing his parents visiting, and that's not scary. You ask a few questions on a Ouija board, and all hell starts to open up. Were you dealing with drug or alcohol abuse issues at all during any of this?
Nope. I can't do that with baseball and stuff. I can't do that stuff.
All right. Well, I'm just trying to get a handle on this so we have the full understanding of this story. And what about your mental acuity? Have you ever had any issues with hallucinations or with paranoia, schizophrenia? Have you ever been diagnosed with any of these things or on medication for it?
Nope.
Okay. And again, these are important things to note. So I'm just, I want people to understand what we're talking about as we discuss this. All right. Nobody else is really being negatively impacted by the energies, except you believe your grandmother and you. Did you tell me, and I'm sorry if you did, how long into this before you started getting scratched and burned and branded by these things?
I'd say it started a year ago, but I didn't have, like, I didn't know what was from that. Like, I don't have no insight about, like, what it can do and stuff like that. And that's when it started to get worse.
Okay.
Like, really worse.
All right. Let's get into that. Let's start hearing about the getting worse and how often these physical attacks. You mentioned being dragged out of bed, feeling attacked. And I want to know if this also started to impact Lexi. Would these attacks happen in her presence? Would she ever find herself the victim of this dark force? We'll do that when we return. But first, it's time to go into the dark hives. Tim has dug out another amazing story in this week's Theater of the Mind.
It's time to once again open the doors to the Dark Hives in a brand new Theater of the Mind. This, a true story of the supernatural, surrounded by a listener that wishes to remain anonymous. We've never figured this out, and now the three living witnesses have to be good and drunk to even discuss this entire thing. Now, I was about 7, my brother 10, my mom in her early 40s, and my grandmother, her mom, in her 60s. So we were all cogent. No one was too young or too senile to not recall this nonsense. Yet here we sit all these years later with absolutely no answer to what happened. Grandma lived on an isolated country road in North Carolina that was named after her family, since they were the only crazy people who lived on that land for about 1,000 acres, and I do mean crazy. Now, we have stories about relatives that start with, "You remember that time Uncle Bob was in the ditch with a shotgun? Which time?" Well, her house had been empty for several weeks while she'd been visiting us in Florida, but we were all back spending the weekend with her before trekking back to the Sunshine State. The house is in the for real country, literally over train tracks, past a salvage yard, and her nearest neighbor, a cousin, everyone is related to everyone who owns a house on the road, ain't within screaming distance. Yes, that seems to be a real system of measurement, screaming distance. Now, it was early in the AM, just like before daybreak. We're awake because these are farm freaks who wake up at the crack of dawn from sheer ingrained habit. We're eating cereal when we hear someone pull up outside. Curious, we all ran to the picture window that looks out onto the front yard. There's a strange truck just sitting there. No one is behind the wheel, though the engine is idling. The truck is, well, old, for one thing. It's old-timey, like maybe from the 30s. You could picture the Jode family heading to California in this thing. It's rusted, but it was probably once painted blue. We stare at the thing, bewildered. Mom asks Grandma if she knows who that is. "Nope, not a clue," says Grandma. She runs to get the phone to call her cousin and ask him to come up. She thinks maybe it's a hired hand and he's just at the wrong farm. Just as she asks him to come on down, the phone goes dead. Well, that was the unsettling beginning. All at once, there is a loud, intense banging on the front door. We all scream. My grandma, who is terrifyingly resourceful, huddles us into the living room, away from a window where anyone can see us. Then, while Mom, me, and my brother tremble there on the couch, she grabs a serrated bread knife from the kitchen and cautiously approaches the front door. She peeks out a side window, very stealthily. She turns back to us with a look of confusion, shaking her head. "No one's there." We all kind of breathed a little easier. Then every goddamn door in the house began banging relentlessly. I can still hear it, rhythmic, terrifying, like all the doors are about to splinter and crack wide open. There were 2 doors in the basement beneath us, so the sound is also reverberating on our feet. The three ground floor doors are shaking in their frames. We can see them trembling and jerking on their hinges from our vantage point there on the couch. Finally, Mom runs to the window, either from a psychotic break with reality or pure terror. I have no clue. She cries out, "Oh, thank Christ, Cousin is here." We run to her and peek out the picture window. There's no one that we can see in the yard, but we can't see all the doors from our viewpoint. Cousin walks by the truck with a shotgun in his hand. Cousin, it should be noted, has pretty much every gun ever made, and he looks puzzled. Looking at the rear of the truck, he then glances in the cab window and he stops. He goes pale, runs a hand down his face, then he begins running toward the house, running towards us. My grandmother flung open the kitchen door as she sees him coming. He shouts, "Everyone, get behind the couch, get down!" He runs past us as we bolt for the couch. The banging starts again. All the doors, and now we can hear the windows beginning to rattle. It's like a tornado or the end of the world is happening. We were all too scared to even scream. Cousin flings open the front door and fires the huge shotgun once. Bang! It was deafening. As he does, the truck roars into life, and it sounds like a train. We scramble up. The banging stops mercifully. Cousin begins advancing onto the lawn, gun leveled at the truck. We run behind him, wanting to be out of that shaking, quivering house and never, ever go back in. We wanted to be near the dude with the gun. The truck peels out backwards, cutting across the yard and racing at breakneck speeds. Tires squealing, rubbers burning. Cousin fires again, and we all cower behind him. He blows out the back window with the sound of 1,000 plates smashing into linoleum. But the truck never even hiccups. It just roars down the road. No tags, not even a vanity plate on the back. There was no one behind that wheel. Not a thing. We all had a clear view. Everyone agreed. There was no driver in that cab. Well, not anything we could see anyhow. The police were called. Cousin had to go to his house to call. This was pre-cell phone era. The phone line had been cut. There was not a single boot print in the entire yard except Cousin's from where he'd run into and out of the house. Cousin reported that there had been no plate, but when he looked into the cab, it looked like something from a horror movie. He said there were all kinds of weird restraints, handcuffs, C-clamps, nylon straps, and he said the floorboards looked covered in what smelled like blood to him. Now, Cousin was famous for his keen sense of smell, and the window was down, so it is possible. Cousin said he thought he saw a blur of something out the picture window and ran to fire the first shot, but missed because once he stood there, nothing and no one was on the lawn or in the truck. Then it shot backwards out of the yard and out of our lives, leaving no answers, just a deep sense of unease every time we'd visit. Grandma and Cousin have since passed. Deeply religious people, they stuck by their unchanging versions of the story until the day they died. My brother, mother, and I have never been able to figure it out. Neither did the cops. I think it should be noted, we don't know how all the windows and doors were banging, and we don't know why we never saw a soul anywhere or how they could get around the sides of the house without leaving a trace in the damp earth.
Beyond the Darkness.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. This is the best in paranormal talk radio. This is Beyond the Darkness. You can find us here every Saturday and Sunday, brand new episodes. And remember, we want to hear from you. Our Voices from Beyond voicemail is open, 651-300-4977. 651-300-4977. If you've had paranormal experiences of any kind, give us a call. You can leave a 3-minute voicemail message. And if it goes a little longer, just in a disconnects, you call back, pick right up where your story left off, and Tim will edit them together because he is a master of audio and he'll put them back together for you. Again, 651-300-4977 or email your stories to me, Dave at darknessradio.com. You can always reach to me that way, dave@darknessradio.com. And don't forget, for our Canadian listeners, the new show, Haunted Hospital, just began on the 12th of October. It's on the Travel and Entertainment Channel in Canada. I will be on the third episode, which airs October 26th, telling my story. So make sure you check it out, set your recordings, and make sure that you watch every episode of Haunted Hospital. And let me know what you think of the episode. I won't get a chance to see it here until sometime into 2019, but I'd love to hear back from you. All right, we've got online with us Keegan and Lexi, extreme paranormal haunting survivors that are dealing with this. This is still ongoing for you. Is that right, Keegan?
Yep.
All right, and that's why you reached out. You wanted some answers. Well, first of all, let me address some of the points. Now, you talked about the Ouija board. Tim and I have talked about this in the past, and for newer listeners, I don't believe the Ouija board is inherently evil. It's cardboard and it's plastic, and we have control over it. We can put it away. We can throw it out. You can return it to the store. Does it mean that it can't open up portals? Does it mean it can't? I can't guarantee that, but there does seem to be a lot of stories that begin with Dave and Tim, I started playing with a Ouija board. So maybe if you don't really understand the tool, it's like any tool that you have in your house, really, right? You're not going to hand over a power tool to a child and let them mess with it if they don't really understand how it works or why it works. So maybe the same should be said. Before you employ the use of any paranormal tools, get a full understanding and a protocol in place, whether it's an opening prayer or closing ceremony, whatever you need to do, make sure that you have an understanding of how these different pieces work. And there are plenty of experts, self-proclaimed and others out there, that work with the Ouija board and have very positive results. Ask them. If you're interested in trying it, ask them. I think a lot of it too has to do with intention. And if we're going into it with a positive thought and we're trying to communicate, I think that we'll end up with a much more positive response to it. If you're going in a state of fear, which many people do when they're playing with the Ouija board because they want that scare, they want to be, you know, they're at a party, they want to get that girl a little closer to them, they want to get cuddled up to that guy at the party, and this is a perfect moment to do it by everybody kind of sharing this scary moment of playing and not knowing what's there. You know what? It's probably best just in that case not to involve yourself if you're afraid that something truly might become attached to you. Tim and I have worked with the Ouija board. Tim and I have seen people work with it and have had very positive responses. I don't necessarily believe that you're going to open up dark portals and evil entities taking over your body. That really didn't start. That stigma didn't start until The Exorcist movie and Ed and Lorraine Warren kind of pushing that agenda against talking boards. Remember, this was a big part of human culture. People were using Ouija boards in the 1800s and earlier, different versions of talking boards and writing oracles. And it was a very popular deal. There's a cover of the Saturday Evening Post Norman Rockwell did of Ouija board. There were popular songs of the time about Ouija board. So it's certainly taken on a much more darker feel. And I think with that in mind, that may be what entertains or invites in more malevolent spirits, things that are ne'er-do-wells and wishing to cause havoc and trouble. So you do have to be careful with it, but I don't think necessarily it's an inherent evil that you're playing with. But know what you're doing when you do it. So Keegan and his friend invited something to communicate with him. You just decided, boom, we're done with it. You put it away and returned the board. So there was no closing. There was no cutting off of this being or multiple beings from having access to you, right?
Yep.
Okay. So that might be an important aspect of this. And in all of this time, Keegan, have you or any of your family members ever put your foot down and said, you're not welcome here, you need to leave?
Yeah, we've said that. We've called Grand Rapids Paranormal
team
or whatever, and we talked to them, and they told us to do that stuff. And they're coming out on the 19th to do another inspection and investigation or whatever you guys want to call it, because they went into the basement and heard growls and talking, and they caught something on their EVP or something like that.
Right, for EV, electronic voice phenomena.
Saying their name.
All right, yeah. So, boy, that's got to make you feel a little uncomfortable. Did they give you any advice on what to do to protect yourselves?
Pray, say, in the name of Jesus Christ, please leave us alone.
Mm-hmm. Has that worked for you at all?
That has worked, yeah.
Okay.
Believe it or not, that's worked. And if you want to ask, Lexi got lost on the other side too.
She got disconnected as well?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll try to ring her back in on the call here and continue this. But let's let's address the fact that you do have. Hi, Lexi. Welcome back to the call. Sorry, we're losing you guys periodically. Maybe the spirits don't like that you're sharing this and might be getting some insight. But Keegan, you seem on the right path. Another great prayer, if you are religious in nature, is the prayer of Saint Michael the Archangel. It's known to be the most powerful of all of the prayers of protection. Demonologists, religious exorcists use that prayer, and you can find it online. So just Google the prayer of Saint Michael and go through each room of your house engaging that prayer and just inviting God, the angels, whatever you want, into that room to clear it of any energy. And that has been known to be very powerful. That's, as a matter of fact, what I employ in my house whenever I felt that there's something there. I will go from room to room. And I leave the front door open. I go from room to room, pushing it out. And I just personally, my prayer is, Lord, I just invite the Holy Spirit to come through this room, to bless this room in the blood of Jesus Christ, help any spirits that are lost or forgotten to find their way, and any energy that is malevolent or evil in nature, I ask that you strike it, you bind it, and you remove it from this home. And I do that room to room, and I do that on a periodically just to make sure I don't have any passengers, since I am out going to quite a few different locations, meeting quite a few different people and engaging in communication. I want to make sure that myself and my children are protected. And, you know, we'll have some moments of elevation in our house, and that's how we approach it here to try to calm things down. We've had that recently, and since we started engaging the prayer, things have settled down quite a bit. So the prayer of Saint Michael the Archangel is a good one, or coming up with a variation like I just recommended. Now, that isn't for everybody. It, you know, there are people that are not religious in ilk. Find whatever belief system you have, and there seems to be kind of banishing or cleansing spells, you know, clearing modalities that you can use and utilize for your own home. So hopefully people that are listening can get an aspect of that. So Keegan, you're getting scratched, you're getting hurt. Are you being impacted at all in your dream state? Are you having nightmares? Are these things attaching to you any other way?
I've had nightmares about like weird things, but
you don't necessarily think it has anything to do with the paranormal.
No, I don't. Okay. So I hope not.
All right. Good to know. Okay. So you said you brought up the fact that Lexi has a unique perspective on this. Lexi, you come into this relationship. He tells you up front that there's paranormal activity. Did he tell you straight away that he was also being attacked?
No.
Okay. And how soon into spending time with him before you realize or he starts to tell you about the attacks that are happening?
I think I experienced it before he like told me he's being attacked. Like he's just like, my back's burning, will you look at it? And then that's when I saw like scratch marks and stuff like that on his back.
Okay, now I've got to ask you, Lexi, because there are a million women out there right now shaking their head. If your man pulls up his shirt and there's scratch marks on his back, a lot of people are going to automatically assume some kind of shenanigans is going on. Did that cross your mind? Did you think, Keegan, what are you doing when I'm not around? Or did you just automatically consider the fact that something supernatural was taking place?
Not at all, honestly. We watch a lot of like the Ghost Adventures and stuff like that, too. So like I already had knew prior that like, that it does burn when they do get scratched, and like the fact that I had experienced like the rocking chair moving in his room, that I was just like, hey, that he was scratched by something. Now, but it didn't even cross my mind.
Okay, so you saw the rocking chair move. What was that like for you?
That's crazy. It was like middle of the night, and it started just like rocking back and forth, and we're both like, oh my god.
Now, is it rocking back and forth in a violent? Yeah, was it okay? So it wasn't just like gently swaying.
No, it was rocking.
Like grandma's legitimately sitting there going back and forth.
Yeah, it wasn't like a violent. It was just like a normal rocking, like you're rocking a kid to sleep type thing.
Okay, well, when I say violent, I just mean more so than just like a gentle sway of maybe a breeze making it move. This is actually violently rocking back and forth as though somebody's sitting there actively rocking.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. Well, that's a little disturbing, right? You start seeing that. Now, again, though, that, you know, here's my initial thought on that. I don't know many demons that are like, oh, I'm going to scare you guys by rocking this chair. Right. I mean, that seems like a pretty lame way to try to frighten somebody. So, you know, what do you make? Do you think that maybe this is one of your relatives or somebody close that was just sitting there maybe watching over you?
There's a possibility it could have been, but I haven't lost anyone recently that would like, I feel like
but you're in Keegan's house. You were at Keegan's place when this took place. So Keegan, do you think that there might be a chance that this was just one of the visiting relatives? Maybe they are watching your back at night because you are being attacked. And maybe this was somebody kind of being witness to what's going on there.
I mean, my dad passed away not that long ago, and I wanna think that it's him doing that stuff, but
I'm sure in that case, I'm sure it probably is. Right. Well, and in that case, it might be, it's not the physical form of our loved ones. And that's what I hear from a lot of people when they encounter a spirit, that obviously it wasn't evil in its intention. It wasn't trying to hit you with the rocking chair. It was rocking. It was there. And you know, most times you think when rocking chairs are engaged, it's usually somebody there relaxing, watching. So I would take from it that aspect. And I know that you'd asked for Tim and I to kind of weigh in on some of these insights. And Tim, kind of hearing that as well, what is your thoughts?
Rocking chair, I tend to agree with you. I've never heard of a demonic rocker before in my life, I guess.
I guess Ozzy Osbourne's the only demonic rocker we both will agree on.
Yeah, and I've seen him in concert, and he's pretty lame as far as demonic rockers go. And I've seen him a couple of times.
Now, the shadow people and the ones crawling across your ceiling and up your walls, Lexi, have you been witness to that as well?
Not that one, but I just seen the one that stands around and like just looks.
Have you ever either
about
one of
possession.
You? Well, hold on. We'll get to the possession in a second. But have either one of you ever engaged it? When you see it standing there, do you say, "What do you want? Can I help you? Do you need something? Do you ever talk to it?"
No, I didn't really think about it. It was early in the morning when I saw it. I had just woken up.
What about you, Keegan? Have you ever addressed it to see what it wants?
No, I just ignore it. I try to ignore it.
Okay. All right. Well, and that's a good idea, too. Some people employ the fact that if you leave it alone and don't give it any strength, don't give it any attention, that sometimes it weakens and it will leave you alone. So that's not a bad premise. That's not a bad plan. So that's good. Now you say possession. All right. Who gets possessed?
Keegan.
All right.
I black out, so I don't know. And I don't like to watch the video either, so I'll have Lexi talk about that.
Okay, Lexi, what happened? Talk to me about this.
There's been a few times. He'll just like the most severe one where he was talking. He was talking to his Nana about and telling us we couldn't leave the room. And that he told me Timothy was following me home and that Nana stays in Toby's room. It's not her room. It's Toby's room. She stays here when she's allowed and welcome.
All right. Well, wait, let me reel it back. When he tells you this, when does he tell you this? How does he tell you this? Is he sleeping and wakes up and is suddenly in this possessed state? Is he sitting on the couch and then, you know, his head starts spinning? Talk me through exactly what took place.
We were just sitting in his room. I think I was on the recliner and he was on his bed and he was just like, I don't feel so good. I feel like I'm going to pass out. I was like, no, like, fight it, you're good. And then all of a sudden he just, like, blacks out, like, glazes over, but his eyes don't shut. They just, like, he doesn't blink at all throughout this whole process. He just starts talking to you, and then he'll, like, come to you and be like, what are you doing? What are you talking about? Wasn't this person in the room? And we're like, no.
What was the voice? Was it just Keegan's voice, or was there any alteration to it?
It was Keegan's voice, but aggressive.
Okay, angry and aggressive, and it's kind of informing you of your position in this house. And you have no memory of this taking place, Keegan.
No, I like thought I fell asleep because I woke up and I was like, what the hell just happened? Like, yeah, it was different, and it's happened more than once.
Okay, and when it happened again, what happened? Talk to us about that.
The second time we were walking to leave because he said he wanted to go for a drive because he was feeling like it was overcoming, and he got scratched, like, it was three sets of three scratches on his back, stomach, and forehead. And then so we were getting ready to leave, and all of a sudden I just turn around and he's falling on the floor and just starts seizing on the floor. And then when we finally get him to come to, we sit him up. He's like, "Get off of me. What are you doing? What happened?"
And when he's seizing on the floor, is he talking again? Is there communication, or is he just having a grand mal seizure?
It's just like a seizing, not talking. Eyes are open, but no talking or anything.
Now, Keegan, have you sought any kind of medical help on this?
Yeah, I went to the doctor. This one was like last month. Went to the doctor that next Tuesday, told him about it. I got a CAT scan, blood work, everything was fine. Didn't know what it was, a freak accident, they said. And I was like, interesting. And like, I feel fine. Like, there's nothing wrong with me. But yeah, I passed.
Did they put any restrictions on you? Did they tell you no driving for a while? Usually when somebody has a seizure, they'll restrict you for quite a while until they have a better handle on what's taking place.
No, I go there, I go back. They didn't say anything about not driving or not doing this, not doing that.
Okay. Interesting. All right. That's a little disturbing. You might want to seek a second opinion on that, because that would be something that would concern me for your health reasons. Obviously there's something bigger going on here, physically, and maybe even contacting a neurologist. Now, this doesn't, I'm not dismissing and saying that it's not paranormal activity, but the paranormal activity, your seizures, could be part of the activity itself. Dr. Barry Taff, who has been a regular guest on our show, has spoken to us on numerous occasions about the fact that in a lot of these cases of poltergeist possession-like cases, that they find that there is a form, sometimes a low-laying form, but a form of epilepsy. So there, you know, that might be something that's going on. So please do consult another doctor, a specialist in this, maybe not your general practitioner, but an actual specialist, to see if they can get you a better handle on what's going on.
All right. I'll do that too.
Okay. And again,
it was just weird.
Well, yeah, obviously it's weird. I mean, that's a pretty violent thing to have happen. And there shouldn't be an, I don't know what caused it from current medicine. In 2018, they should be running pretty extensive testing on you to find out what's going on.
Yeah, that's what my family said. Yeah, exact words. Yeah.
Okay. So yeah,
we're all in, because they were like,
oh, I'm sorry.
It was weird because they were like, there was three people holding you and you were still managing to get everybody off of you and all that stuff. Like, I was being able to lost them all over the place when it was two adults and her. But
the other thing I was going to ask too, Keegan, is anywhere in here with the Timothy and the Toby manifestations, was anything ever suggested to you about seeing a clinical psychologist?
No,
because the other thing that comes to mind too, wondering what that noise is. With the clinical psychologist.
It's the bulldog.
It's the bulldog? Okay. All right. Thanks for clarifying.
It's a demon, Tim. Just
because,
go on.
Because otherwise we're going to have 8,000 emails of, did you hear that noise? It's an EVP. Yeah. we'll get that from a lot of different listeners. The other reason, too, is because Timothy and Toby are other than The Exorcist, aren't typical demonic names, but And forgive me for throwing this out, but as a skeptic, I have to throw it out. There is the possibility of multiple personalities here, too. And a clinical psychologist will rule that out.
And I'm not laughing at Tim's talking about possible multiple personalities. I'm laughing at the fact that the bulldog is while we're chatting.
Growling,
But that is, and again, that's not something that you need to be afraid of, Keegan,
right.
in discovering that you've got maybe some issues that need to be addressed. They can handle that now very easily with medication, but that might be something that you
Dave pointed out something very, very crucial in that when you did have the seizures can change brain chemistry. And in that, a change in brain chemistry can bring about multiple personality syndrome. So, again, one of those things that go hand in hand, just going into an emergency room or going to see a clinical doctor wouldn't be able to diagnose that, but a clinical psychologist could.
Yeah, so that might be something you take a look at. We'll continue talking about this here, about a few more of the experiences. But first, Keegan and Lexi are with us as we're talking about their extreme haunting. Now, Tim brought up a few aspects, and we do have to mention this because if we don't, Keegan, we are not psychologists. We're not psychiatrists. We're not medical doctors in any way, shape, or form. As a matter of fact, our medical training ended in about fourth grade when we stopped playing doctor with the neighborhood girl. But we want you to know that there are medical issues that can attribute this. And if we don't mention those, we're not doing you or the listeners a service. It's not we're not calling you mental. We're not calling you broken or fractured. And obviously, there is something going on because your grandmother's been having these experiences as well in this house before you were even aware of it. So there is something to that, to that aspect. Now, how many times in total have you had these what you would call possessions take place?
About four.
Okay. And are they more violent in nature as each one progresses, Lexi, or, you know, what can you explain to us about that?
Some of them are violent. Other times he just like blacks out for a minute and like sees like his grandpa or someone else like in the room. He's like, weren't they just here talking to us? And I was like, nope, they weren't. And then,
all right.
Yeah.
There's a book, Keegan and Lexi, called The Gift by a very talented author and experiencer, Echo Bodine, E-C-H-O Bodine, B-O-D-I-N-E. And it sounds like what you might be dealing with as well is psychic abilities, mediumistic abilities, Keegan, and entering this trance-like state. There's a type called a trance medium, which it sounds like you might be connecting with. So you might want to educate yourself on trans mediumship, T-R-A-N-S mediumship, trans mediumship. And that is where you're actually becoming a conduit. You become like the radio for the signals that are coming in. So the spirits speak through you. And you can educate yourself on how you can turn that on and off, how you can switch that on and off. And there are different ways to do that. And there are a lot of holistic healing centers. If you look in your area, look up holistic metaphysical shops and explain to them that you're being inundated by this. And there are a lot of really good, talented mediums out there who can teach you to close that aspect down, especially so it's not just taking you over and you're not just channeling and seeing these things. So please, will you consider looking into that as well?
Yeah, I'll definitely look into that.
Okay. And how recently have these kind of activities been taking place? And are you feeling like you're being threatened at all, Lexi? Are you in danger?
Nope, not at all.
You just feel this is...
He doesn't do anything to hurt anyone. He just communicates like as like another person, essentially. Like,
okay.
If he's Toby or Timothy.
All right. Oh, so Toby and Timothy are the main voices that are coming through you. Have you ever spoken to them asking if they can give you any more information? Timothy who? What's your last name? Where are you from? Have you ever tried to engage it in any way, Lexi, to try to get more information?
Yeah, we ask them, like, what do they want? What's out there? Why can't we leave the room? Like, we try to get more out of it. They won't tell us. They say, I won't go in that room if I were you.
Okay. Hmm. Now that's ruling by fear as well. Have you ever gone against it and opened the door to go into that room?
No.
All right. All right. Yeah, I think there's a lot of things at play here that need to be ruled out first, Keegan. So please speak to a neurologist. Talk to somebody and let them know, because especially dealing with seizures like this and these moments when you could be taken over, I would be very careful, Keegan, in driving, because that puts yourself at risk and other people at risk. Because even in just a brief moment of blackout, 30 seconds or less, can cause a traumatic end to your life or other people's lives. And Lexi, that's important for you to know. I personally would never get back into a car with Keegan driving again. And I don't mean that as a sign of disrespect, Keegan, but if this can happen to you at any given time, people are taking their lives into their own hands with you until you figure out exactly what it is you're dealing with. I'm going to also connect you, Keegan. Are you familiar with Bill? Oh, good God, Tim, help me out. His last name is escaping me. He's a good friend of ours.
Bill Bean.
We recommend a lot. Bill Bean. Yes. Are you familiar with Bill Bean?
Mm-mm.
Okay. No. Bill works in the field of delivery and deliverance and helping people to expel these energies from them. And he's extremely proficient in it. It's something Tim and I are reticent in, because how do you send somebody to a metaphysical practitioner and prove that they're going to get help? All I can tell you is that we've sent people to Bill now for about how many years, Tim?
Oh, quite a few, at least five or six, maybe more.
Yeah. Yeah. It might even be up to 7 or 8 years now. And Bill will take your case very seriously, what you're experiencing, and try to get you some help. So with your permission, I'm going to pass your phone number on to Bill Bean and see if he can't give you a call to see if there's something he can do in the immediate future to help you out and get you stabilized and get some help going for you. Would that be all right, Keegan?
That'd be perfect, yes.
Okay, we'll do that. And Lexi, I need you to make sure that you stay on him about making that call as well. I'll get you Bill's phone number. But Lexi, I need you to stay on him so that he gets the help that he needs spiritually and metaphysically to start protecting himself, okay?
All right, I will.
Work with him with the prayer of St. Michael. I don't know, are you, obviously Keegan seems like he's religious in nature. Are you as well, Lexi, or no?
Yes, I am.
Okay. The prayer of St. Michael could be something that would help you out as well. And take a look at that. You can also get blessed. If you go to any religious shops, there's a medallion that's known to work really well. And that is the St. Benedict medal. Okay. It's a Benedictine medal. And many of the exorcists and demonologists we've worked with over the years will, gift those items to people that are afflicted to get some help. Have you reached out at all to local clergy, to your local church, to see if there's anybody there that could give you any help?
No, I don't. Like I said, I don't like to talk about this mm-hmm. stuff to people, because I hate when they, like you said about the mental thing, like I know what I see and stuff like that. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know. They'll try to tell me, oh, you're just seeing stuff. Like, no, I'm not. I know what I see. Sure. I see it multiple times.
Well, that's why I'm saying talking to somebody in the religious field might be helpful. They're counselors that deal with this at a lot of the churches now. And I don't know if you've been reading the news or listening to our show when we report on it, but there are a lot of churches taking this type of thing very seriously now. And they're there to counsel people through this. And I know it's scary because you don't want people to think you have a mental deficiency or problem. I get that completely.
Exactly.
Okay. But you also need to know that, that sitting and waiting at home might not be the answer, because, and this isn't meant to scare you, but it is meant to enlighten you, Keegan and Lexi. This is important for you to know. If this is truly a form of possession, the stages are oppression and what is it, Tim? There's oppression, something else, and then possession. And the end game is to try to get you to hurt yourself or others. And we don't want it to escalate to that point. Okay, the end game for the enemy, for the dark forces, is to get bad things to happen. And usually it's suicide, trying to break you down. And you don't want that. You don't want to wait to that point, because you're fearful of being judged. we want you around, Keegan. We want you to seek the help. So Bill Bean will be a good first start point with you, educating yourself. And there's simple information you can find on YouTube and online about how to protect yourself, how to ground yourself psychically so that you are not necessarily open to these type of attacks and things that you can do. You know, even going into the church. And are you Catholic by nature, Keegan?
Christian.
Okay. If you go into most churches, they have holy water. And if you take it, splash it on the back of your neck. That's an important spot. Put it over your forehead and cross yourself over the heart. Those are well-known places that keep these things from entering you. So that might be a good way to start off. And you can get holy water at other places. That might be something that you keep for yourself and is a good way to kind of keep things in check. So there are other little tasks like that that you can look into that won't out you in a public way, but it's a way to start giving yourself strength and giving yourself protection. But remember, first and foremost, you have to allow it to happen. Okay. And it's been slowly breaking you down. Now it's time to take control back. You have that power. You have that ability. And as you said, when you've called on Christ or you've called on religious, religious icons, it's worked for you. So I would continue using that aspect as well, but educate yourself on ways to start grounding your own abilities and keeping you safe. Okay?
All right. Yeah.
All right. Do you have any other specific questions for Tim and I that maybe we can weigh in on?
About the hurting others part,
mm-hmm.
It was me, my grandma, and Lexi in my room, and when I woke up from the possession or whatever, I kept on catching myself, like, trying to snap the back of my grandma's neck when she was in front of me. And Lexi, if you can tell him about that, too, like, I was, like, out of it, but I was, like, inches away from doing it.
Yeah, like, he was sitting there, and he was, like, zoned out, and then he'd, like, pick his arm up and then realize what was, like, coming over him and be like, what am I doing? And like completely snap out of it.
Okay. That's the end game of this that can go horribly wrong. So you need to protect your grandma. You need to protect Lexi and you need to protect yourself by getting some help. And we're going to put you in touch with Bill Bean right after the show and see if there's somebody that can help you out with this. But please keep in touch with us, Keegan. And Lexi, you have our way to contact us as well, dave@darknessradio.com or through the social media sites and let us know how this is going for you guys. Will you do that?
Yep.
Yes, I will.
All right. Any other last questions for us at all, Keegan?
Nope.
Lexi, anything that you want to know?
Nope, I'm good.
Now, understand, neither one of us are the authority on these things. All we can do is tell you what we've heard and what we've seen and witnessed in the past. And we just want what's best for you and Lexi. But Lexi, you need to be aware as well, and you need to do prayers of intention and protection around yourself and help around his grandmother to keep an eye. Because we, you know, until this thing gets controlled, it seems like, you know, each of you might be in danger. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right. Well, thank you both for joining us and spending some time sharing your stories. And we appreciate your openness and your candor. And again, we only use first names. We want to keep your identities protected. So thank you both for sharing your stories today.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Certainly. Well, Tim, this is, this is an extreme situation. And then to hear the revelation at the end of these dark thoughts that are now getting to Keegan.
Right. Yeah.
And that he wants to hurt. I mean, that's really a scary element. There's only, you know, again, as the old saying goes, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't force him to drink. And it, you know, I think obviously we gave him the best advice we possibly could on getting some help, and we will connect them with Bill Bean. But I, you know, this is kind of a scary situation to be a part of. And I'm just, for all of our listeners out there, just keep Lexi and Keegan's grandmother in your prayers and thoughts for protection, and that an answer can come to Keegan and some kind of resolve before something goes horribly wrong.
Very true. I mean, like you said, there's so much you can do. And part of that spiritual work is you doing that spiritual work too. For our audience, please put both of them in your prayers tonight, and that they can not only find that answer internally, but help themselves as well as get the help that they deserve.
No doubt. All right, that's it for this week. Remember, we have a brand new edition of True Crime Tuesday available every Tuesday. You can check out True Crime's very interesting cases. And this week, Tim, JonBenet Ramsey.
Oh.
There is new information. There's some startling information we're going to talk about regarding the case of JonBenet Ramsey. That's on this week's True Crime Tuesday. Plus, we've got new Dumb Crimes and Stupid Criminals, so make sure you check that out. How can you subscribe? Real easy. Just go to darknessradio.com. Click on the True Crime Tuesday banner. It'll show you how to subscribe. It's $5 a month. That's $1.25 an episode for the new episodes. And when you subscribe for a monthly subscription, it gives you access to the past 2 years' worth of shows. That's a lot of shows, Tim. What is that? 52? We've got about 108 or so episodes that are available.
78. We have exactly a year and a half of shows.
78. Great. That's a lot of audio, a lot of stories, and we've covered some amazing content throughout the year. So make sure you subscribe right now. And remember, if you subscribe and keep your membership through January 1st of 2019, maintain that, we will. You're automatically entered into a drawing for $500 of Tim's money, and we'll be doing that right after the January 1st timeframe. We'll be doing that live drawing and alerting the winner of their winnings. $500 of Tim's money. Could life get any better than taking from Tim? I'm like Robin Hood. I'm taking from the Tim to give to the listeners. I'm kind of a hero. I'm kind of a folk hero, Tim. I don't want to brag, but I think I'm doing some good work here.
You kind of are bragging, a lot. Yeah.
Well, I don't think that's bragging. I mean, I'm helping, Tim. Sometimes you have to remind people you can do good things. You can give. And for our listeners, they deserve the very best. And in this case, it's your money, Tim. So that is the very best I can offer them, because I certainly don't have any to give. Well, you have 500. We've tied that up. I've already had Larry and Big Bone Crusher Bruce take the money from you. So it's in holding. It's in escrow right now. We've got it sitting there away from you, so you can't while it away on women and wine. It's there for our listeners, and we will do that drawing. So subscribe right now to True Crime Tuesday and never miss another minute in the best of True Crime Talk Radio. Subscribe at darknessradio.com. Click on that True Crime Tuesday banner, and you can get signed up for that. And remember, for those of you listening to the show that have Droid devices, go download the free Darkness Radio app. It's free. It's available to you at the Google Play Store, and it'll give you access to Beyond the Darkness, Midnight in the Desert, True Crime Tuesday, and many other great features. So go check that out and be a part of that right now and get that free download. I'm sorry, iOS users, we still don't have an app that we can put together for you, but we're working on it. We've been saying that for 2 years, but we are legitimately working on it and trying to find a way to make it available. So as soon as that's up and available, we'll let you know. Tim, that's it for this week. We'll be back again next week with more of the best in paranormal talk radio. Beyond the Darkness, every Saturday and Sunday, delivers you the best in paranormal talk radio. And remember to check me out Monday through Friday on the best in anomalous talk radio. I host live Monday through Friday, 9 p.m. to midnight Pacific. That's midnight to 3 a.m. Eastern time. Those of you in Mountain Central time, you got to figure out the math yourself. But you can listen to me live at midnightinthedesert.com as we talk about strange and supernatural conspiracies and more. And you can also get information at midnightinthedesert.com on how you can subscribe and never miss another minute of that show. So it's all there. It's all available for you. Go check it out for yourself. For that guy, I'm this guy. You've been listening to the best in paranormal talk radio. This is Beyond the Darkness.